scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Al Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get it going. It is Friday, April 25th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. And it's a Friday, which means it's time to check in with our buddy Eric Francis. It's time for the Eric Francis Hour on Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Eric joins us from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Hello, EF. Happy Friday, pal.
Happy Friday, my friend. Beautiful outside. Golf and weather is here. Life is good.
I hear maybe you may have swung some sticks on this Friday.
I've swung many sticks this week, and I plan on swinging a whole bunch next week as well. Yeah, it's good. It's courses actually have wintered remarkably well. So, no complaints at all. Yeah, it's good. There's an upside, you know, to your team's, the team you cover not making the playoffs. I'm not saying I wish, hoping for it. Don't get me wrong.
I think right now.
I'm quite used to it in Calgary.
I think right now they like on they probably went out on Saturday, had a team gathering. I bet they were like, you know, this sucks. We missed the playoffs. We 96 points. We missed out on a tiebreaker, but at least Francis can golf. But I do think that is a consolation prize for them, too.
Yeah. Listen, they're golfing, too. you said they went out Saturday. I'm going to suggest they went out Saturday, Friday
Sunday.
Sunday. Monday, Tuesday. There's quite a strong NHL tradition of making sure that you tie the season up with a big sloppy bow.
Yeah.
As the boys should. You know what? I mean,
you grind for that long.
Yeah, you play that long. You probably, you know, these guys are disciplined with their everything. They're eating, they're everything. And then it's time to just go, you know what? We gave it a hell of a run, and let's go have a few drinks with one another. So good for them. I know they're having a good time.
And as they should be. Francis, the season's been done for about a week now. The season ended last Thursday, so we're now 8 days removed. We're just under a week removed from locker cleanout day last weekend. And I think we've got a pretty good idea of what's going to be on Calgary's wish list going into the summertime. And the area they're lacking most in right now is unquestionably down the middle. We know how, you know, organizationally pretty deep in net. Organizationally, pretty deep on defense, especially on the right side. They've got wingers, but centers, not an area of strength. Their top two centers are, 36 and soon to be 35 years old. So there's definitely a need there. And I want to start off our conversation with this clip from Craig Conroy last weekend. You asked him about his kind of wish list going into the offseason and basically said, is a center iceman a right shot center iceman? Is that the number one priority? This is what the general manager had to say last weekend.
The right center would be on the bucket list for sure, you know. But again, what is going to make us better? What do we need moving forward? And that won't be, you know, I'm just one person in our group of people. We're going to get together and sit down and go through who's out there, what's available. And again, we don't know what's going to be moving forward. Is there going to be a trade? Is there going to be a possibility to find maybe a center?
So that was what Craig had to say on locker cleanout day. And earlier this week, you took that and wrote about it over at sportsnet.ca, did a little bit of a deep dive on potentially looking for somebody to help solve that issue down the middle. What did you come up with over at sportsnet.ca, my friend?
Well, it's funny. The first thing that kind of comes to mind when I think about it is, like, when I was doing the research, it's like right-handed centers are like unicorns. Like, there are 20 in the league, 20 right-shot centers in the league who are between the ages of 22 and 26, which is that age-appropriate,
right,
you know, kind of acquisition the Flames are looking for. So I did the, you know, all the filters and found all the right-shot centers between those ages, and there are 20 of them in existence, but, like, you know, 5 or 6 of them are, you know, Rob Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, like guys that are, you know, some of them are on 8-year contracts elsewhere. Like, but there are 8 guys who will not have a contract at the end of this year that would, you know, be the ones that I think the Flames would look at. Now, it's highlighted by 2 pretty big names. You know, Connor Geeky is the first one. And the second one, Morgan Geeky, he scored 33 goals last year. And the other one will be Gabe Vilardi. But they're listed as centers everywhere, NHL.com, Puckpedia. But the reality is they both play on the wing on their top line in their city, their respective city. So, look, I don't think either one's going to become available. Sure, you could think about offer sheeting, but again, they're not playing centers. So that doesn't answer your problem. The only other guy I would say of the 6 other names, you know, that would really intrigue me is Maverick Bork in Dallas. Now, Dallas is going to do whatever it takes to sign this kid. I mean, I know lots of teams wanted him at the trade deadline, and he said, no, he's untouchable. So, again, you could offer sheet him or any number of the other 5 guys, because they're all restricted free agents, all these 8 guys I'm talking about. But with the salary cap going up, it's pretty tough to offer sheet someone and catch someone with their pants down, because everyone's got a little more wriggle room to kind of, you know, make up if someone really kind of tries to blow them out of the water with an offer. So I just not sure I see it happen with Bork or the other 2. The other 5 names, I'm just scrolling down here.
I got them for you right now if you want me to hit you with them.
There you go. Yeah, Cody Glass.
Yep.
Rasmus Kupari, Mark Kostelic, Philip Tomasino, and Mark Gatcombe. I'm not sure any of those guys move the needle that you want to offer sheet for them, right? I mean, you tell me, am I wrong? Like, are any of those guys, you know, am I way off base here? That those, the list of 8 that I basically rhymed off, other than Bork, none of them, like, it's not a thing. Do you agree?
Agreed. I don't think that you look, and even because you're right with Geeky and Vilardi, not a lot of center ice time over the last little while for them. Don't know if those are the type of guys that, you know, would be moving the needle either for you. So it's a situation where I don't think you're going to necessarily be able to find your answer in free agency or via an offer sheet. It's why all season the Dylan Cousins idea was so palatable for Flames fans, because that guy probably fits the mold. Now, I don't think that they had the type of package that was going to entice Buffalo the same way Ottawa did. The Senators had some things that maybe the Sabres were more interested in, specifically Josh Norris, and the Flames didn't really have that other young center to be able to move the other way. But when it's all said and done, like, I don't know if that list of 8 that you dove into on your latest is your, I don't think it's going to solve the problem at all. I like Maverick Bork. I think there is some real upside there, but he's essentially been, and this is not a knock on him because Dallas is a really good team, but he's essentially been a 4th line guy or a bottom 6 guy since joining or since making it to the NHL with the Stars. He's currently he's currently not even playing a regular shift with Dallas. So I look at where the Flames are and what they need most. I don't know if that's going to solve it. It might have to, like, it's either the trade route. I don't know if they're finding their future number one center in unrestricted free agency, even with names like Mitch Marner, John Tavares, and Sam Bennett potentially out there. Like, it goes back to what we've known forever, Francis. They're either going to have to make a trade and a significant one, or they're going to have to draft their guy as a right shot number one center. Because you're right, they don't grow on trees. Like, they are unicorns.
Yeah, it is becoming increasingly apparent, like, that they're going to have to address this via the draft. But of course, that means 4 or 5 years before they're an effective, you know, impactful center on the team. They're looking at a window a little shorter than that one, you know, for to try and land somebody. So, hey, I still think they'll continue to beat the bushes looking for a trade that makes sense. But really, this whole exercise and you asking me about, like, it's his bucket list item. You know, in other words, if he could get it, that'd be great. That'd be my dream. But the reality is we're going to have to probably settle. You know, Sam Bennett's the name that's kind of the one.
Yes.
People are focused on because he's got the Calgary ties. He's Mr. Playoffs. He's hard-nosed. I don't think anybody in this city thinks that he's actually a number one center. But he'd be a hell of a number two on any team in the league because of all the intangibles he brings. So I don't even know if he'd even think about something like that. Flames have the money, and I do think they have the desire.
Yes, agreed.
But I don't know if those two things are going to get it done for him to come here. Kind of been here, done that, and you know. Anyway, the reality
And who knows if he's even going to leave Florida, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm not sure I would. but here's – all of this is just an exercise in just basically reminding everybody, as you look at what this team is going to look like next year coming back, assuming they can't address this wish list item, it's going to be remarkably similar to the team that they finished with this year. Like, I think it's pretty clear they're not going to go the Tyson Barrie type route and get a veteran defenseman as an insurance policy. Pretty sure they're not going Anthony Mantha route, you know, where they get a veteran set winger who can help them offensively. Like, and I don't know if anybody in this marketplace, not that the media or the fans' opinion really matters, but I'm not really sure anybody wants that anyway. I think everybody fell in love with seeing new guys, you know, audition for the team on a somewhat regular basis. And I think you're going to see it again in camp. And I think you're going to see it all season long again next year. And I think that's the right thing to do. I don't think you should be spending any money on free agency, to be honest. Outside of maybe one guy that you might go get some sort of, I don't know. And I'm not even sure who that would be. But I think what you've got here is something special. You're building towards something. Mm-hmm. And I do think you have a lot of the right pieces that are ready to start making some big auditions.
Well, and that, I think that that's, like, I think it's important for the Flames. And I really do believe, you know, I think the Flames looked at last summer and there were a few more question marks when it comes to some of their young players. Would Matt Coronato be ready to be a full-time NHLer? We didn't know that last summer. We know now, but we didn't know that then. You know, what would Connor Zeri be in year two? Didn't necessarily know that. We didn't know if there was going to be, we didn't know what Kevin Ball was. You know, there were a lot of question marks. I obviously didn't know what Dustin Wolf was going to be. So, you know, the Flames went out and were a little more active in free agency. They brought in Lomberg, they brought in Mantha, they brought in Bean, and they brought in Cooley all on short-term deals. I don't see them doing the same thing this year. I think the Flames would like to, if there's a big fish, like, look, had Rantanen not been traded and not been traded again and not signed in Dallas, and had he made unrestricted free agency, I think the Flames would have gone hard after Rantanen. I think that there's a decent chance, as you do, that they'll take a run at Sam Bennett if Bennett makes it there. But I don't think that we're going to be seeing them trying to augment around the edges via unrestricted free agency, because I think they would like Zane Parekh and Jan Kuznetsov and Ilya Solovyov and Sam Honzek and Rory Karens and Adam Klapka. Like, they would like these guys to be on the team and force their hand in training camp and have a little bit more of an open door, so that, like, Matt Coronato had a pretty good camp last year, Francis, and made the team, but only because Sharon Govich was banged up to start the season, then got sent down and only got called back up once Mantha's season was done. And so you don't necessarily want to be in a situation like that if you don't have to be. So I think they're going to be younger next year. I don't know if they're going to find their number one right shot center to be in the lineup to start next year. That seems like it's a difficult ask. But yeah, I think you're bang on in that. I just think it's going to be a continuation of what they started this year, gradually getting younger, gradually bringing more exciting players into the lineup, gradually kind of having that next group replace the current group. That's what I just think it's going to be an evolution and continuation of that.
Yeah, and I think it will be, and I think it should be. And
yeah,
you know, even when you're just rhyming off that list just off the top of your head, you didn't add Idar Suniev. You know, I mean,
nope.
I think there's a kid
nope.
who they would love for him to make a splash in camp and force their hand. And, like, it's already to the point. Look, I mean, I think we're going to start talking about RFAs today, too, and who would you sign, who wouldn't you sign, and all this. But, you know, I think it's pretty clear that you're going to bring back Justin Kirkland. And, you know, and I think that it's pretty clear that Adam Klapka proved that he's a top 12 forward in the NHL. I think he's, and you definitely want to see how far that can grow and towards, you know, everyone keeps pointing towards Alexei Protas and those sort of things. But the point is, like, it's already a pretty crowded house if you're just having youngsters battle for the few open spots they've got next year. And I know right now that, you know, everybody's on a high because the team finished 11-2-3, and, you know, why wouldn't you want to bring back that exact group that pushed so hard, you know, from last year? And so I think it's an easy sell job. Like, I don't think they're worried about the marketing side of this. You come back next year with one shiny new object or no shiny new objects, I think people are just as excited next fall when they start hearing about how Parekh's doing in camp, how Suniev's doing in camp.
Yeah.
How does that Adam Klapka look? Where are they penciling him in? You know, what if on opening day of the camp, you know, Klapka's penciled in on the top line? I mean, that says a lot too, right? You know, I mean, anyway, that's where the excitement is. That's where the growth is. And that's where the future's got to be, I think. And they know that, I think. And that's exciting.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see some of the decisions we saw over the last decade when, you know, we saw the Dougie Hamilton trade is one thing because they brought in a 23-year-old top pair defenseman, all that type of stuff. But I mean, I don't think we're going to go see a Troy Brouwer UFA signing, and I don't think we're going to go see them spend a ton to bring in a Travis Hamonic or give up a top 60 pick to bring in Brian Elliott. Like, I don't think we're going to see those type of chasing moves, which I think is a good thing because Craig Conroy's been very adamant that they got a plan, they're sticking to it. They're not going to deviate from their plan. It doesn't matter what happened this year, they were sticking with it. He didn't go chase at the trade deadline. And I don't expect him to go chase fleeting results in free agency this year. You know, getting a number one center is an organizational need they've had for decades. They came close to it for a couple of years with Elias Lindholm, but otherwise haven't had really, you know, Damon Lanko for a couple of years. Craig Conroy, when he was with Aginla, like, they've had guys that could fill that role, but that bona fide legit number one center has been eluding them for decades. That's a different story. That's kind of like a different conversation outside of the one we're having. Outside of that, I think sticking with the same plan and philosophy is the best thing for them. And I think it's also the best way for them to continue to build on the steps they took this year.
Yeah. And further to that, you know, boy, what did I write there? I think the Flames will go into this summer with, did I have that right? $34 million.
$34 million. Yep.
You know, and then they've got to sign a bunch of restricted free agents and all that, but generally speaking, they finished the season with $17 million in cap space, which kind of gives you almost a better idea, like, just where they were at the end. Anyway, they've got a lot of money to spend. And I'm not sure there's anybody who thinks that this is the year to go spend it. Like, again, yes, if Rantanen was available or if Mitch Marner becomes available, and I'm not even sure Marner fits in here, and I don't think he'd come here anyway. But the point is, you know, if you do see that big fish, these guys have spoken often about taking that swing and they having the money and trying to show people that they're first class organization by picking guys up in jets and all these things. Like, I do think that patience has been the number one virtue of this general manager. He's shown tremendous patience, I really believe, in his 2 years. Like, there's a lot of people I think who would have reacted a little quicker to different situations to their detriment. I think that he has, it's not easy to just sit back and take the bullets, you know, while people are saying you should be acting on different things. So I think his patience will be a great virtue too, as you sit on this massive wallet that he's got right now. Pick your spots, weaponize that money, get involved as a third party on trades. I know they've tried to do that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just because you have money doesn't mean you have to spend it, you know, and Craig said those exact words the other day, and it's the right way to do it. Like, too many general managers over the years have thought, God, I got money. How could I possibly leave it on the table?
Like, yeah,
it sends a bad message. You know, I could always go out and get me a new real spiffy new winger who could maybe add 30 goals here or there. And so often these signings in unrestricted free agency backfire. So I think that he's going to be very patient. And that means it'll be a good summer to me if you don't spend that money,
yeah.
You know, and I don't think there's pressure either. I think people in this city understand that there's a youth movement afoot. It's fun to watch. It's really made this team even more likable than they've been in a lot of years. And it means, you know, not spending money and eating up spots that youngsters could be buying for.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see if there is a way that the Flames can solve that issue at number one center. I don't know if that is something that, you know, is the most likely scenario, at least between now and the beginning of next season. But I think there's some real reason to be excited about where this thing is going. And I do think the fact that, you know, you and I are saying these things in terms of what the Flames should do and just stick to the plan, stick to the process. But you and I have both been assured constantly by the GM, like, that on and off the record, that there's not going to be any deviation and there's not going to be this total change in plans that we've seen before. And I think as a Flames fan, I know that not every Flames fan is on board with I coined this myself. It's one of my favorite terms, the high build. I made that up myself. to steal your term, not everybody is on board with what you call the hybrid rebuild, the high build. I know there are a lot of Flames fans who think it's a half-baked idea and think that it's one foot in, one foot out, all that type of stuff. But what you can't argue with is that it is different. What Craig Conroy is trying to do and his active, public, transparent push to become a younger team is something that is different than what has been done over the last 10, 15 years here. And so, I don't know. I continue to be really intrigued to see what the GM is cooking up here. And I think that it should give you, at the very least, some solace as a Flames fan that it's not going to go all the way back to some of the mistakes that we've seen made in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Even last year when they, you know, I never really agreed with the Barry signing, but I understood his rationale because there was an upside there that could have potentially been tapped into. But, and it didn't, you know, because they're not up against the cap, what did you lose there? It didn't backfire or anything like that. Now, Anthony Mantha was brought in, and of course, he doesn't fit into the mold of that young guy that they're trying to shape. But the idea was that he could help Huberto get going, right? Which had some merit to it as well. And again, you're not up against the cap. It was a 1-year gamble.
And maybe you could have flipped him for something at the deadline if that was the way things were going and had he not had the injury situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it was a failure either, because he actually wasn't bad, you know, when he did play, but obviously it just didn't work out because of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so you move on. But you know, again, even those signings, which maybe sound like they're outside of the plan, had some rationale behind them that I thought were part of the plan. So anyway, it's going to be, if I say it's going to be an interesting summer, it's almost like I'm not sure I even believe it, because I don't think they're going to do much. Like, I do think the Rasmus Anderson situation will be addressed one way or the other. I really do think.
You think that'll get done this summer for sure? Hey,
yeah. I do think it'll get, I think it's for the best of the organization to resolve it one way or the other. I do. I mean, there's no deadline. He can start the season next year and you could trade him 20 games in, 30 games in, whatever the case may be. And maybe by then his stock would be a little higher given the way his season went this year. But you're also risking injury, and I don't think that's I don't think that's prudent asset management myself.
I'm with you. I also think that it's most likely that we get some sort of resolution this summer, for a lot of the same reasons you brought up. I mean, it's a little more difficult because there is still the 1 year left on his deal, but I think that you'll have a pretty good idea as to where things sit in terms of what a contract might look like in pretty short order. And once you have a pretty good idea what that's going to look like, I think if you're the Flames, you can either start making your decisions on whether or not that's a guy that you want to try to lock up and you know, if there is some common ground there, or if it's a guy that, you know, you think it's best suited to move on from. It feels like it would make the most sense to have that all set. I know that you could make an argument that it might make more sense to get something done come the trade deadline. You could make an argument that maybe you get a little bit more for him at the trade deadline. I don't know. I don't think you necessarily want the distraction going into next season.
Yeah, and look, he's an integral part of this team. Like, I know people rip on him with the plus minus and you know, the offense wasn't there. Like I get it, but in that room, he's beloved. Those guys love him. He's the kind of guy you want on your side when there's a battle. I really, you know, that's going to be a hole that they'll need to fill. And I don't care how good a camp Parekh has. That's not the guy who's filling Rasmus Anderson's spot. Like, that's a different player, right? That there's nobody's who should be confusing the two roles that those two guys play. They're very different. So, obviously, I think Parekh will be here next year, and I think he'll be here all year. But that doesn't fill the shoes of Anderson. But if you can use Anderson, because, look, when you talk about trying to trade for a center, it's going to cost you dearly, obviously, if you can find one. You're not really willing to give up that many of your draft picks right now, I don't think. You're still in that phase where you're trying to, you know, gather draft picks. So, but if you could parlay him into a center somehow, I think, you know, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. You know, assuming, you know, we talked about it last week, and just to kind of reiterate, I don't think he'll be here. I don't think he's going to want to sign, and I don't think the Flames are going to be anywhere close to offering the sort of money that he feels he deserves on the open market, nor do that the Flames want to dip into a guy for 7 or 8 years. So I think it's very obvious to me he won't be here. So with that in mind, and once you have the talks and you've decided that that's clearly the way it's going to go, then, man, if you could package him up for, I don't think you're going to first line center for him, but, you know, help you with your center depth. Mm-hmm. That would be huge. That would be huge. And I do think he'd have tremendous value on the open market. I know those people who are down on him, the 10% that he refers to, that are down on him and his numbers, the guy's making less than $5 million a year. For a guy who basically played in the top pairing all year, that's a hell of a bargain. And a proven NHLer, like, you know who it is. So I think a contender out there would pick up Rasmus Anderson very happily.
We are underway this hour. It is the Eric Francis Hour. Eric Francis on Twitter, at Eric Francis. You can catch him at Sportsnet and sportsnet.ca. He joins us for a full hour every Friday here on Flames Talk, and we are well underway with the Eric Francis Hour this week. Hey, can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If you're TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Eric Francis Hour continues on this Friday. It's Steinberg and Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. EF, as we look ahead to the offseason for Calgary, they've got a few unrestricted free agents they got to make a decision on. Curious as to, and kind of take this where you want, but Joel Hanley, Kevin Rooney, Justin Kirkland, Dan Vladar, how do you see the Flames approaching their UFAs this summer?
like, I actually think it's going to be fascinating. That part will be interesting. Like, Dan Vladar, I think the desire is there to re-sign him. I think it would be very prudent to do so. It's kind of up to Vladar, if you ask me. I mean, he says he wants to come back, but at what price? I think, he would get more money on the open market, no question about it, if you ask me. But, we've seen some examples in this city where guys leave, and I'm pretty sure if you in hindsight, you should have stayed. Like, Johnny Gaudreau comes to mind, and same with Oliver Shillington. These are two guys who, they loved it here. They knew what it was like here. There were no unknowns. And at the end of the day, decided to go and test unrestricted free agency. Whatever, that's their prerogative. I would hope that some of those lessons, you kind of see and you go, look, I Vladar could go a lot of other places and challenge to be a 1A, 1B guy. Here, he's definitely number two, with what, 25 starts maximum. That one will be fascinating. Hanley's interesting too. I mean, he was so good. I mean, I don't see him coming back, but I think he's upped his value to the point where someone's going to sign him and he's going to get a second lease on his career. So if you're asking me to take a guess as to what I think will happen with those, Kirkland will be back. I mean, there's no question in my mind.
Yeah.
That one's, I think he found a perfect home here. He fit in really well. Great story. Everybody loved him. I don't think that'll be hard to come to terms on that one. I can't see Rooney being back here next year.
Well, especially if you're going to keep Kirkland. Like, I don't think you can. I think Rooney for sure is gone. And I think Kirkland's a perfect guy to keep on a 1 or a 2 year deal. Give him a one way. You know exactly what you've got with him. And if you're going to keep Kirkland, I don't know how you can also keep Rooney, especially with some of the other players that maybe you'd like to see make a stab at being on this team next year.
Yeah. Yeah. We see it the same way then. So I don't know. I mean, do you think Vladar will be back? I mean, it sounds like you agree with me that, ideally he would be back in terms of what the team's hoping for, but do you think he actually will be? I'm not optimistic.
Hey. I think he will be. And the reason for that, it's kind of partially what you talked about, the whole grass is greener thing. But also, I don't think there's a ton of options that are going to be so much better than he's got it in Calgary for him. Like, with no disrespect to Dan, who went 6-1-1 down the stretch and has really turned me back into a believer of him staying with this team. Like, we're still talking about a guy who's gone 3 straight seasons sub 900 on a save percentage. We're still talking about a guy that has not been able to show that over a long period of time he can carry the load and do it at a high level or an NHL average level even at times. Like, I don't think that we're going to be talking about so many teams lined up to sign this guy. I think he can find work elsewhere, and I think whether you look at going to New Jersey, I think New Jersey's really interesting. They're going to lose Jake Allen, and with Jacob Markstrom, he and Dan are thick as thieves, good friends. And I also think Dan Milstein and Dan would know that Jacob has a history of injuries. And we're talking about a guy now about 35, 36 next year. So there's a decent chance Markstrom misses a good chunk of time on a couple different periods. Like, it is what it is. He'll probably miss 10, 15 games with injury. That's kind of the way it's gone for Markstrom. So does he look at that as more of an opportunity? Does he look at San Jose as more of an opportunity? But I think when it's all said and done, I think the Flames will be able to give him the comfort. I think the Flames will be able to give him the familiarity. I think the Flames will be able to give him, like, hey, this is what it's going to be. You know what to expect. There's no unknowns. And finally, I do think the Flames, with their lack of cap issues, I think they might be the team that's able to compensate him the best. Like, he's at 2.2 right now. I could see him higher than that to stay in Calgary. Like, if you were to sign him to another 2-year deal and you had to bump it to $3 million, that's no skin off Calgary's back. Other teams, it might be a little bit different with. So if you're the Flames, I think that there's plenty of reason for you to extend a decent offer for him to stay. But even though I'm with you 100%, I believe it will be up to Dan Vladar. And I believe that's kind of even where the Flames are. They're like, hey, we'd like to keep him. Craig Conroy told me as much 6 days ago. We'd love to have Dan back, but it's also kind of up to him in terms of what he wants. I feel like he'll be back, though. That's my feel.
Well, and there's certainly, you know, there's a lot of merit in, you know, even if you had to bump it up to 3.5, whatever the number is, there's merit in investing in something that is insuring your number one asset, right? I mean, if you have to start next season with Cooley, and hey, I never watched him in the A this year. I know his stats were off the charts in the first half of the season, and in the second half of the season, they were off the charts in a bad way. So you're using Wolf to shield Cooley on starts next year if he's your backup goalie, as opposed to the way it worked this year, which was Vladar was shielding Wolf from the toughest of assignments. And that helped Wolf become a Calder Trophy finalist and one of the better goalies in the league this year. So, yeah, that whatever you're paying Vladar, it's an investment in making sure that your goalie, your number one goalie, continues to be, you know, on the right path to, you know, even getting better. So I see tons of merit in that too. Yeah. And I know they're going to try very hard to keep him here. The guys like him in the room. He's like, you know, he's that likable backup goalie. It's all going to be, you know, everyone gets stars in their eyes and think, what am I worth on the open market? And I get that. I'm sure a lot of agents are encouraging people test free agency, see what's out there. And maybe you could circle back. But it doesn't always work out that way when you have to do that.
And again, like if you've got a quote unquote overpay Dan Vladar, who cares? To keep a good fit, like you're gonna have $34 million. That's what they've got next year, and then the cap's gonna go up again the following year. And you know, yes, they're gonna have to sign a bunch of RFAs, and we can talk about that on next week's show. You know, they're gonna have to extend Coronado. Maybe they're gonna have to extend Wolf in the next year and a little bit. The Zeri, Ball, Frost, like they've got contracts. It's not like all of that $34 million will still be there for them. But then the cap's gonna go up again next year. If you have to give another $800,000 to Dan Vladar on an AAV to ensure that you can keep the tandem that you really like this year, the tandem that helped Dustin Wolf turn into a bona fide one on your team, I think you're willing to do that all day, every day. At least I would. You know, it's not my money. But, like, for them, Murray Edwards has always, and Craig Conroy was adamant about this again over the weekend, Murray Edwards has always given, whether it's Brad Treliving or Jay Feaster or Craig Conroy, they've got the green light to spend to the cap. So, like, it's not our money. What's another $800,000 to keep Dan Vladar? Or another million or whatever it might end up being to keep him. They got no cap worries. Just make it happen would be the way I look at it.
And the other thing is he's an asset, right? You're signing an asset who is very tradable. Theoretically, anyway, I mean, very tradable at one of the deadlines this year or next year, if you feel like you've got to make room for Cooley somehow or whatever the case may be. But we both see merit in it. It's just going to, like Conroy said, it's going to be up to Vladar in terms of what's the opportunity he's willing to, you know, what opportunity is he looking for in the league.
What would you do if you had the call? What would you do with Hanley?
Oh man, that is a tough one. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Like 2 months into the season, he was a healthy scratch
every night,
and every single night except for two. And you're like, but full marks to him. You know, he made good on the opportunity they gave him. I don't know. He's 33 right now, right? And so next year he'll
be 34 next year.
Yeah, and so like that's a tough one, but, you know, likable in the room. You might have to sign him to 2 years if you're going to keep him. Or do you? Can you get away with 1 year? If you can get away with 1 year, then I guess you do it. I guess it also depends on how far you feel some of the defensemen have come. Look, Perek's the guy everybody's looking at and everything, but I haven't heard that kind of many people think Brustavich is ready for next year. Maybe he is, but you know, and I thought he looked really good in that one game, but that's small sample size. Solovyov, is he ready? Look, Solovyov's got the one-way next year, so that's interesting, you know?
Yeah.
The one-way contract, so he'll be with the team. So I don't know. I don't think I'd do it, but it could be a Tyson Berry situation where you're like, look, he's a bit of an insurance marker for us, and we have the cap space, and if it's only going to be a one-year deal, like, why not? So I don't know. My gut tells me I'm not even sure what my gut tells me.
I wouldn't. And I love the story. Like, what a cool story. He would be one of the most important players to emerge this season for them because he helped solidify their top four. Like, they were trying so many different things to try to get Uyghur's game, not to get Uyghur's game, but to find a partner for McKenzie, right? And it was Miramanov, or they were trying, like, they could not find the right fit. They tried Pahal with him. Like, they just could not find a good fit. Then all of a sudden, they tried Hanley, and he's a left side guy. They could move Uyghur to the right, and it worked. And that helped solidify the top four. But whether it is Solovyov, who is on a one-way deal next year, Kuznetsov, who's an RFA, Grushnikov, who's on a two-way deal next year, those are just three left shot options they might have. I think that that's a really, really important thing to try to chase down. Not try to chase down, but to try to have the door open for. And so, yeah, I love the Joel Hanley story, and I hope he gets a good deal somewhere. I just don't know if I would be bringing back a 34-year-old D-man with some of the options you might have internally to maybe fill from within. And hell, you know, maybe it's moving Uyghur back to the left side to make room for Parekh. And I don't know. There's a lot of different things they could do, and I just don't know if retaining a 33, soon to be 34-year-old D-man, I don't know if that's the type of move that's in line with where this team is going.
Yeah. I guess my gut's telling me the same thing. It's just, it's a real hard sell for me. But, you know, you come to camp and you are still trying to make the playoffs every year while growing with the high build, you know, I mean, it's, you're trying to grow, but you're also trying to, you know, he would be a better defenseman than a lot of the kids you're going to try to promote from the Wranglers. He's definitely a better defenseman. So there's the question mark. But I think also he may have, just because they're crazy, but he may have priced himself out of the market. Like, you know, like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but, you know, I just don't know if they're willing to spend, you know, to give him a guarantee of maybe 2 years that he probably feels like he deserves now. So anyway.
Well, we got some RFAs to talk about next week. We'll do that. See if we get any news between now and next week's hour as well. For now, enjoy a sunny, golf-filled weekend, Mr. Francis. Good stuff as always. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Eric Francis on Twitter, at Eric Francis. He joins us every week on Friday here on Flames Talk as we start to wrap things up this hour. Thanks to Shan Virgie, Azam Ali Nanji, our outstanding producers this hour. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.